I'm here with Jeff Oxier, President and CEO of Oxier Asset Management and the Oxier Focus Fund. Jeff, one of the things that you've been talking about and mentioned in a recent Fortune article where you were featured was that deleveraging across the globe has brought about certain opportunities in certain sectors. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we look at, first thing, Greg, is we want to look at the balance sheet of the businesses we're in, but also in a macro environment, where we are in debt levels and the stages of deleveraging. So the developed countries, of Europe and U.S. and U.K. are in a period of deleveraging. Basically, excessive indebtedness has led to a period, probably the next, my guess, the next 7 years of painful cutbacks. And that's a period that leads to people are buying, they're still going to be buying necessities. And we like the lower ticket necessities at this time, generally.
So you're looking at some of the developed markets where their consumers are moving down the scale as opposed to up the scale. They're buying their necessities, but they might not be buying a sub-zero refrigerator.
Yeah, well, there's two kind of stories going. The first one that's a lot more exciting is you've got 1.8 billion emerging middle class now. That's 1.8 billion roughly, adding, maybe we're adding each year 150 million people to that middle class. Now, again, in these countries, this urbanization that's taking place, and also the this is the most rapid urbanization, industrialization in history in Asia. So that the necessities and the food part of that growth is three times faster than the overall economy. So that's the exciting deleveraging. In other words, that's not really a deleveraging story. That's one where you're actually moving up. And that group is spending between 10 and 15 trillion a year. And that's, so if you have companies that can sell into that, that's our, there's 200 million. The Indonesian fundamentals are 200 million people. They're far more exciting than, say, Greece. But if you're in the developed countries, again, the lower ticket items in a deleveraging tend to be better.
So you're saying that we're in a developed nation. People might not go out to eat, but they might go buy a pint of Ben & Jerry's. And in a emerging market, people will go out and buy a pint of Ben & Jerry's because now they have the money to be able to do it.
Yeah, the big thing in Asia, a lot of it is just the trust, food safety, and what have you. And Western brands, if you have a trusted Western brand, and a lot of the Unilever brands or what have you have been, they're very exposed to the emerging markets as far as their distribution goes. The big thing is if you can develop a quality, trusted Western brand that's a little, lower ticket, that's where we're seeing strong fundamentals throughout the globe.
And you've been a proponent and continue to be with the fund as well, which is highly successful. But instead of going for the Ferrari kind of eye candy, you stick with solid companies and sort of a slow and steady wins the race philosophy. Is that correct?
Yeah, because the most underappreciated concept in investing, I think, is the power of compounding. And the keys there are you don't want to lose your capital. And because, if you're up 50% year one and you're up 50% year two, but if you're down 50% year three, a steady 8% beats that. But if you're down, if you're down 50%, you got to go back up 100, So you really, when you study compound interest and, the eighth wonder of the world, according to Einstein or whatever, you really focus on making sure you protect against permanent capital loss. Now, again, all auction markets, there's going to be volatility. The average New York Stock Exchange stock fluctuates 50%. But you want to, you're looking at permanent capital loss, through changing technology and things, bad acquisition, performance, bad allocation by management, et cetera, So you're always on the lookout for those things that can torpedo your portfolio, and that's why if you can avoid the torpedoes and the bubbles, that usually will, you know, you'll outperform over the long haul.
And are there any are there a couple of stocks or three stocks, say, that you like right now? I know that even in the consumer staples sector, some of these might be overvalued at this point. What are you looking at now that's attracting you?
Yeah, well, unfortunately now you've got to buy some problems because, you know, the markets have moved up. But we like Tesco. We bought at lower prices than here, but, you know, Tesco is very much levered into that emerging middle class, you know, the primary on the supermarket side, into, you know, Korea and Asia, and they're also, you know, big in the UK. But there's a case where you could, you know, at 15, the stock was trading less than their net real estate value. So that was one at 15, say, I think it's 16 and change now, but over a 4.5% dividend yield, 9x earnings, and it stumbled badly in the first quarter. But again, we're looking at those franchises, you know, that that typically they'll stumble. They overexpanded, similar to what McDonald's in 2002, and then a couple of years ago, Starbucks. Too many stores, and they lost focus on their customer, and now they're getting back. And so the retrenchment has been a good time to accumulate that stock, you know. Others, like I say, yeah, a lot of things have moved up, so we're very price sensitive. But, you know, we've got a fair amount of things like Molson Coors. You know, Molson's mm-hmm. been around since 1700, the oldest brewer in North America, and down in the low 40s, high 30s, you know, is, you know, 10 to 11 times earnings. And again, the Coors management has been very innovative and coming out with a lot of new craft brews and stuff like that. So we, again, look at ticket sizes, you know, again, in a harsh deleveraging, you're in demand. We don't want to be in windmills or, you know, solar or something that's dependent on tax credits. We want products where people buy them because they want to buy them, you know, not that they're not forced to buy them, or they're not buying it because there's a subsidy or a housing subsidy or interest rate subsidy. You know, we want those products.
And they don't have to get approval, loan approval, right?
Right. We want, just people want to buy products that they really want to buy them, but they're affordable, you know, kind of like an affordable luxury, you know, like we talked about Ben and Jerry's ice cream, something that, you know, that they can buy maybe a cup of coffee, a nice cup of coffee. They're not going to buy a Maserati or something. You know?
Right.
I mean, but, you know, they'll do that over, and then, you know, you add it up on people who are aspiring to buy Western products. And, you know, if you've got a trusted brand, you know, you've got to have the scale to serve these, in this urbanization. I mean, there's a lot of people that are moving into these urban areas, and you've got to have the distribution. So that's what's been exciting. There's another, I'm just thinking here, other buys that, yeah, right now what's happened, things have moved up, you know, so we're kind of more
good. We're good, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't even have to sweat it. Yeah. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Good. Okay.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. And sorry for the delay. I appreciate it. And thanks a lot, Greg. And
right.
Anytime you want to talk, appreciate it.
Okay, right. I'll let you know when this gets posted.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Nice to see you. Bye.